An environmental story now with a strange beginning. Go with me here. So much of our lives depends on simple, quiet, peaceful, one-on-one communication, right? Parent to child, lover to lover, teacher to student, advice, caring, commitment, love, the binding glue of family and civilization. Conversations like this. Here's the late Fred Rogers teaching a timeless lesson to a child.
What would you tell Lady Elaine if you were her friend? If she wanted to borrow things for her exhibit, she needed to ask people for them, not just take them.
A lesson about sharing there from Mr. Rogers. But with more than 6 billion of us on planet Earth, finding that quiet place to deliver wisdom like that can be a challenge. What if there was no place? Or the only place had a background of traffic sound? Had a little music from a car window? Throw in some cannon noise? An airplane takeoff or two? And how does that intimate conversation sound now?
We'll make believe some more about that next time.
Well, this is the very real predicament for marine animals facing a rise in underwater noise pollution. Human-made clamor, the whine of ship engines, the searing blasts of military exercises, and the thunderous booms of air guns searching for oil and gas. Big problem. Poor whales. The noise particularly affects underwater mammals like whales, which rely on sharp hearing and echolocation, sonar, to communicate and look for food. In response, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is working on a project to document these human-made noises. The sounds recorded will be transformed into the world's first large sound maps. The hope is that these ocean visualizations will be the first step in curbing noise pollution in the underwater ecosystem. Joining us now is Dr. Leela Hatch, NOAA, NOAA, Ocean Noise Specialist, and one of the project's two directors. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm trying to imagine the sort of Mr. Rogers whale out there trying to communicate with her young or his young, and probably having in his or her brain maps already of the noisy human noise-created ocean. Do mammals know where not to go because it's so noisy, do you think?
Well, that's a very good question. These are animals that have evolved over generations and generations, and these are long-lived animals like us. So any change that we're seeing in the way that they accommodate noise in their environment is happening within the lifetimes of the whales that are existing today. So this is a real growth in noise out there that animals are maybe able to accommodate. But they're not able to adapt to, per se. They're not able to evolve to. They've evolved to a much quieter state where there wasn't a lot of that human-introduced noise.
Now, I don't want to turn you into a whale, Leela, but can I have you do some sound identification to hear some sounds as the mammals might hear them?
Sure.
All right. This is something that we got from the NOAA Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory's VENTS program. Listen. Now, what is that?
Well, it sounds to me like it's an air gun pulse, a seismic air gun pulse.
And in fact, that is the case operating off of Nova Scotia. But actually, the sound is thousands of kilometers away in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. What's the impact on a whale hearing that sort of sound?
Well, that's a very good question because it right away brings up this question of scale. So on the one hand, if you were very close to it, what you'd be hearing is very different. You'd be able to hear the higher frequency, those higher tones on the piano, components of what is really an explosion of an array of air guns that are pulled behind a ship in order the sound is directed downward in order to be able to map the benthic seafloor and look for oil and gas deposits. But over those very long distances away, you're hearing only the lower frequency components of that sound. And that pulsing that you can still hear is the lateral loss of energy from those explosions. So real close by, we'd be concerned about the potential injurious effects to animals that happen to be close by to those explosions. And we mitigate those effects in various different ways to try to prevent animals' ears being exposed to those sharp and very loud sounds. What we're concerned about in this project is the longer range effects of the cumulative noise produced by lots of that air gun activity in areas where we're more prolifically looking for oil and gas.
Let's listen to a sound that might constitute something of the drone proliferation of noise pollution in the ocean. You don't have to identify this. It's actually a ship, like a lot of ships cruising in the ocean. This sound is courtesy of someone named Thomas Keckheffer. Now, does that interfere with sonar? Does that actually cause marine mammals to move away from it, or does it confuse it with maybe some other mammal?
Well, that's another question that sort of brings up this issue of scale. We have questions about, just like you said, what might be the orienting effects for an animal that's very close by, sort of like you standing next to a highway. You're going to hear a car go by you, and it's going to get louder as it approaches and softer as it goes away. So there's that more close-by effect, and it'll interrupt potentially what you were doing at very close range. You may have a response to it, a behavioral response, or you may change your communication pattern around that pulse. But the problem with the way that sound behaves in the ocean is that all of those ships, and that's, you know, over 95% of how we move the world's goods is by ship. So all of those ships and the noise produced by their propellers, the cavitation bubbles coming off those propellers, that's what you're hearing there. That is this large-scale hum. And the questions there become, are animals able to accommodate the loss of sensory capability because their background noise conditions are now sort of chronically louder?
Well, amazing questions, and ones that humans will be able to pose and possibly answer for themselves by looking at these new maps. Dr. Leela Hatch, NOAA ocean noise specialist, one of many helping to prepare noise maps of the ocean of human-caused sounds. Leela, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've been asking you, if you could eliminate one annoying noise or sound from your life, what would it be? Loud bass from car stereos, says Ryan in California. Leaf blowers, says Tim from Charleston, South Carolina. Put yourself in the mind of a whale here on land. Another listener suggested the barking dog next door. And, of course, nagging ex-wife, someone says, sound of someone flicking something out from under their nails. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE. It's a serious question, though. Noise pollution on land and underwater. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.